Well, guys, I think most of you know that I believed it as a teacher, I believe it as a pastor. Repetition is a key to learning. Most of us don't just hear things once and we've got it for life. So repetition is a key. Because of that, because I believe that, and because I also really hope that the last 10 weeks, you've learned some things, we've learned some things about the church, about God's purposes for the church, about our responsibility to be the church. Because I want us to remember some of those things, I have tried to work into one sentence the things we've learned in 10 weeks. Now, English teachers, Mr. Bassetti especially, just close your eyes, close your ears, because it's going to be torture for you to hear this. The most common thing I saw during high school and college on my papers never was good work, beautifully, nice, creative. It was run on sentence, run on sentence, run on sentence. So I kind of took the record on this one, but let me just read. This is one sentence trying to get down what we've learned the last 10 weeks. The church is a gift from God and one of his chief means of grace to help us develop a faith and sustain a faith that is real and friends that are true and has some of its distinctives us loving one another as Christ loved us, being comprised of people from all ages and stages that God has called, gathering regularly because we need others to stimulate us to love and good deeds and others need us to stimulate them to love and good deeds, us practicing the visible words of baptism and observing the Lord's Supper as dramatizations of his grace. Whether visible or invisible, all parts of the body are needed and have a purpose. And in Christ, we are one family and can be defined as a people assembled in a place who need a shepherd, who have each been given a gift for the common good of all and who are able to partner with others around the world to kick a dent in his story through our lives being transformed, our prayers being intentional, and our giving coming from cheerful hearts. That's what we did in 10 weeks. Where's Mark? You can open your eyes again now. You can come back with us. But for you, I didn't want to, so that was the English teachers. I didn't want to leave the math teachers out. I did a little study here. That one sentence covered 10 weeks. It took me about 35 seconds to read it, and there's approximately 175 words. The 10 weeks, we used 17,406 words. What 13,287 seconds, which is 222 minutes or 3.7 hours. And so you're saying, Will, if you really believe that less is more, why don't we just go with the statement and forget everything else? Well, hopefully because of illustrations, explanations, and scripture to back up everything we just taught, hopefully it was worth the while of taking 10 weeks rather than 35 seconds. But I just want to do that kind of for fun. But I did want to really spend today as a day to remind us of things we must never forget about the church. And at the end, I'm going to end with saying how you can do that. How can you remember all 10 things that we learned about the church and not forget them unless we do this every week? And so hopefully that'll make sense at the end. But I really want to review the things we must never forget if we someday want to hear as individuals, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I think most of us have a desire in our hearts to do that, to hear those words someday. And so I think today we're going to review some things of how we can do that. I want to say there are two reasons that motivated me to go and take a week to review it rather than just going on to something else. The first one is in my own personal time in God's Word, I just finished 2 Peter, and I read this verse, 2 Peter 1, verses 12 to 15, where Peter's writing to the people, the Christians that he knows that are scattered, and he writes this, "So I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and are firmly established the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body because I know I will soon be put it aside as the Lord Jesus had made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." Now, two clarifications. The Lord has not told me that I'm about done in my earthly tent. I think it's going good. I think my life is, but I don't know that I'm going to be gone tomorrow. By the way, just as an illustration of that, this is not in my notes, but you know that we got this building because of Jubilee Church. They were a church up in Paradise who got their facility burned down, and they moved down here for just a short period. Well, when their church got rebuilt, Steve Grandi, who was the pastor who founded the church, I think he's been there like 30 years, he's the one that contacted us and said, "Hey, would you guys like to take over this lease?" And was very kind to us and really worked with us in that transition. And was perfectly healthy, perfectly fine. I probably met with him, I'd say, 6 or 7 times. Went up to his house, went up to his church. He passed away last week out of nowhere. He said, "Well, why are you telling us?" Because none of us know that we're guaranteed another day of life. I don't think he had any idea that his life was going to be taken the way it was. So that's just kind of a sobering point to remind us that we don't. But the other thing about this passage, I do realize Peter's writing to them, and he's trying to tell them some things of how they can be keep from being ineffective and unproductive. He's saying, you need to know these things or else you're going to become ineffective. Well, I'm just stretching it to take it and use it today to say these are things we need to know to be effective and productive as people of God in his local church. But the second reason I'm doing that I want to take a day to review it is this, and today's even more because we have some guests. But if we try very hard to shepherd the people part of this church, and so we try to know who's here. It's not to keep any, good boy, bad boy. But if we did that well, and if we did it right, we're averaging 249 people per week between the two services, 249. And since we started on 10-3, so that's been 11 weeks ago, only 13 have been here every week. Now, Matt and I are in that 13. We're not in that 13. We've missed. And so I'm not saying it to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just saying nobody's heard all the messages except for 13 of you. So you guys could probably give this message. But the rest of you, you're going to be something in here you didn't hear. So that's another reason we're going to do it. My goal is to take one of the reasons that one of the truths from God's word, one verse from it, and then hopefully one application or one verse, one quote that help us apply it to our lives as we go through here. I wrote down, I really wanted to do this. I was going to say, let's just brainstorm together as a church. What are the 10 reasons we've covered it? And I thought, what if we only come up with one or two of them? That would mean I'm a very bad teacher, and I just couldn't take it right around Christmas time, so I decided not to do that. And I have combined 10 to 8, so just know we're going to look at 8 things that you must never forget that God reveals about what is the church, what's it for, and what's our role in it. Okay, so let me do that. I'm going to pray, and then we'll look at these 8 review things. Father, I do thank you for your word that reveals to us not only who you are and what you're like, but Father, reveal to us what we're to do as we wait in between this already of becoming your children and not yet of getting to be with you for eternity. And I pray today as we just review that, Father, you'll help us to apply this to our life, that we might be the church you've called us to be, that we might have impact in this community, in this city, in this state, this United States, and, Father, the world, as we reach through different ministries, different missionaries. So I pray today to be profitable towards those ends. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 8 things we must never forget. Number 1, the church is one of God's means of grace to help us develop a faith that is real and friends that are true. And it really is one of his chief means. I think that if you were to ask people, I'd ask a lot of pastors, like, what are the chief means of God's grace to help you continue to grow as a Christian? They'd probably say personal Bible reading, personal prayer, and gathering with God's people. So the church is a big part of how he's going to grow us and how he's going to keep us walking with him. Hebrews 10:24-25 says it this way. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Meaning if you don't hold on, you might lose it. And he's saying, hold on to it. Fight for the hope you have. Fight for the truth you know. For we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as is the habit of some, as habit of or some habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. So God's word is saying, you guys, we need to be together. And we need to be together for the purpose of stimulating one another to love and good deeds. We need to be encouraged in that. The application is very, very, very simple. And again, I always say, we do things like this. You're the choir. You're here. But I think that the application is we all need to make regular attendance a high priority for us. Not that we won't ever miss, but it's a high priority. We won't miss just because it's something more fun is down the road, because this is our Sunday commitment to gather with God's people, to be encouraged, to be stimulated to love and good deeds. Second review is living a life of love is a distinguishing mark of the church. And on that week, if you remember, I said, you know, let's brainstorm. And what are your friends outside the church? What's the words that come to their mind when you say church? And you came up with words like hypocritical, homophobic, too political. Everyone was negative. And we talked about how we want to be a part, this church wants to be a part of rebranding the reputation of the church at large. To be a people who, when you say that, what is do you think of when you say church? They would say, they love well, they serve well, they're compassionate, they're forgiving. That's what we want to do. So this verse is Ephesians 5:1-2 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. That's what we are, dearly loved children by God our Father. And I think sometimes we all forget that and we think, oh, I've messed up, I got those bad habits, I lost his love. We're dearly loved by him. And he proved that, demonstrated that by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And the week we studied that, we looked at some ways that Christ loved us and how he sacrificed, how he took initiative, how he met needs. And we talked about all that. But today we just need to know that's one of the distinctives we should have as a church is we are a loving people, both to those inside, those outside. A quote by Mark Devers that I loved, our love for one another is the visible sign that we grasp the love of an invisible God. That we understand we're dearly loved, even though we're dearly flawed, even though we're deeply our sinners, to the uttermost, we've learned in our small group, that's a word, uttermost sinners. And we are, and yet we're deeply loved by God the Father. And so we need to love people that way, understanding they're all deeply flawed. We're all deeply flawed. James says we all stumble in many ways, and he's writing to the Christians. So we need to realize that. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And one of my prayers, one of my hopes is that we as a church in the year 2022 will just come to understand even in a deeper way how loved we are. Because if we understand how loved we are, it's going to affect how well we love others. And so I hope we grow in our understanding of that. Number three, the church is made up of people who have responded to God's call on their lives. 1 Peter 2, 9-10 says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And the thing I think we need to realize is that what we all have in common, there's not a lot we all have in common. We all live in Chico, but we couldn't say we all drive the same type of car, all wear the same type of clothes, all are bougie, all are not bougie. I just learned that word a few months ago. I don't really know exactly what it is. There's debate in our house whether bougie means you wear clothes that are name brands or you wear clothes that aren't name brands and they're so fancy nobody even knows what the brand is. But all I know is I'm not bougie. They've agreed on that. But I'm just saying we're all different in a lot of areas. But the one thing we do have in common is we all are sinners saved by grace. Not because we're bougie or not bougie, not because what we wear, or what we say, or what we don't. It was because God's grace has been granted to us. And that's what we need to realize. Understand that we are sinners, trophies of his grace, loved by him. That's what we have in common. That's what we can be a bond over. Number four, God commands us to gather as his people because he knows our need to in order to finish well. Again, back that means chief means of his grace is to gather together. Hebrews 3:13, he says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The enemy is deceitful. He's a liar. He makes look good what is bad. He makes bad look good. He's a deceiver. And us gathering together, we can encourage one another to not be deceived, to think the things we are pursuing that are really bad are good. It's to help us in all those things. I love this quote by David Mathis, during the rough and tumble of the week, the hard knocks of real life in the fallen world can disorient us to ultimate reality and what's truly important. And gathering together can help us stay on track to live for what really matters. That's another reason we gather, is to encourage one another to not be deceived, not to start chasing after things that don't matter at all, which is very easy to do in this rough and tumble world. So as we gather, I hope we come together realize it's not all about me. I hope I can find someone to encourage and let them know I'm glad they're here. Sometimes just letting people know they're loved and they're here is an encouragement to them. Because all week long, maybe they've not been felt welcome at work or in their neighborhood. And just being known they're loved and welcome can be an encouragement to them. Number five, all parts are needed. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you a part of it. Visible or invisible, the body is made up of many parts. And this church is many parts, and you're all needed. In the design, we see the wisdom of the designer. Everybody has something, but nobody has everything. And I wrote down, you are needed. 61 of you going to Mexico. 22 of you going to Nicaragua. Dozens of you help supply needed clothing for the underprivileged children of the district. These were full last week. We've already emptied them once, and I hope they refill again because it's just a really fun. The person that came to pick them up was very encouraged to see them full and take them, so we had room for the next week. 150 of you helped supply kids across the world with Christmas gifts. Hundreds of your giving to help support 10 missionaries who go to 7 different countries. That's because every part's needed. Not all of you are going to Mexico. Not all of you are going to Nicaragua. Not all of you gave clothing. But everybody had a part to do something. Number 6, we are declared by God to be brother and sisters if we have been adopted into God's family by responding to his invitation to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it really is, I know sometimes we'll say, hey, good to see you, brother. But the reality is we really are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I mean, that's a high calling to know that I'm related in God's family to all of you. That's a privilege and an honor. And I hope I treat you like that. 2 Corinthians 3:13-11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of the one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, along with that family, this is another quote that I absolutely love and the application of it. The individual, me, must realize that his hours of aloneness react upon the community. In other words, what I do alone affects how well I love you in public. And I read just this week this great illustration. You know, we like to use example of that we're a part of an orchestra, and every part of us has a part to play. And if we play together, it sounds beautiful. Well, one of the things that this book was pointing out that I read this week is saying, that's not true if everybody doesn't practice during the week. If they don't learn the individual parts to all come together, it's not going to be pretty. And he's even saying, even as before they gather, as they gather just together, they're going to fine-tune their instruments right that time. And so the picture of me is that we, during the week, we spend time with God in the other two means of his grace, in his word, on our knees in prayer, asking him to change us, using his word to enlighten us, to transform us. That will make this all the sweeter as we individually, personally, are transformed by him. Number 7, we are sheep in need of a shepherd. It talks another place says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then Charles Spurgeon, a really old guy, older than Steve Rystrom even, way older than him. Before a man can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd, he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature. And guys, my hope, my prayer, is we want to be a church for all ages and stages. So I hope every week there's some people in here said, I never knew I needed a shepherd. I never know I needed a rescuer. And you sing about a rescuer and you talk about a rescuer. I hope every week we have people to come to say, no, I am in need of a shepherd. And I need a rescuer. And I'll come to understand that Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is our rescuer. So I hope that weekly we kind of grow in that area as well. Last one, we're instruments in the Redeemer's hands. Each one of us, 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've been given a gift to use to somehow bless other people, help other people. And again, I hope it can be as simple as being kind can be a way to serve. There's a lot of other ways, but it can start there. Back on 11/28, I shared a promise to Colin Hanson, who's now an elder. He was a pastor, now he's an author, but he's elder of his church. And he makes a promise to people who join his church. He says, I promise you this. If you'll do these two things, I promise you, you'll be satisfied about our church. You'll love our church. Now, I'm not as strong as promise you, but I really strongly believe, and so I've rewritten his statement, and I really strongly believe this for every one of us. If you consistently show up on Sundays seeking to care for others, again, that might just be by welcoming them, greeting them, loving them, tell them you're glad to hear. It might be helping them get their stuff from the car, helping them get the kids from the car, whatever. If you consistently show up on Sunday seeking to care for others and belong to a circle during the week designed for spiritual growth, you will get everything you want out of Firm Family Church. That could be spiritual growth, friendships, biblical knowledge, or practical help. You will get whatever you want from the church by fulfilling just those two simple tasks. To not do those things, you lean to judge the church for how it fails to meet your needs and how others fail to reach out to you. We need to remember we are the body of Christ. We might be a hand, an ear, or an eye, but we are essential and needed. The body doesn't function properly without you, and you need the body of Christ too. So show up and ask around you how you can help others. And again, that's his statement, but I just think it's very true. I think you'll feel a part of this church if you come regularly and look for ways just to let people know you care about them in whatever way that might be, big ways, little ways. I just think you'll find, oh, yeah, this is my family. This is my people. So in this series, I want to ask you how. So I told you at the beginning I was going to help you know, how could you remember, we did 8, combined 10 to 8. How could you remember all 8 of those ideas And if I came to you 3 months from now, say, what are the 8 ways? What's the easiest way to remember something that you learned? Who was it? Who would know? How do you remember something you learned? Sing a song? Okay, I could have tried that. I could have sang a song for you with all 8 of those. That would not have gone well. What else? Make it to a song would have been one way. What else? Yes, Cheryl. An acrostic, that'd be another good way. You guys are like educators. Here's what I have found, guys. The easiest way for me to remember something I learned is just to start doing it. If I apply the thing, like if I just say, okay, I remember I'm supposed to come regularly to be a church. Okay, I'm going to go every Sunday. I'm supposed to look for people to greet. Okay, I can then remember. It just becomes a habit that's a good habit that's just who I am. That's just what I do. Sundays are a day for me to gather with these people, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and on it goes. So we really can do that. I know I've used a lot of quotes, but I'm going to close with one. I've saved this all the way since October 21st for today. It was in New Morning Mercies. Some of you know I like Paul David Tripp and his book, New Morning Mercies. And October 21st, he said this, and I just marked in my notes, save this for the last day of the series on the church. And here it is. It is so easy to be an identity amnesiac. It's so easy to forget who you are in Christ and what you've been given as his child. So God has ordained that we should gather again and again to remember again and again who we are, what we have been given. His church is a tool of grace, a vehicle for remembering so that we may celebrate and grow. And guys, I believe the church is a gift to us to help us continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to continue to be transformed, to be more like him as we gather together. Again, that's one of his tools. I believe his word and prayer are the others, and there's others, but those are the 3 big ones, I think. But I hope that we've kind of come through this series and realize the church is a gift. It's not a duty. It's not a drag. It's a gift that he gives us to help us grow. I look forward to next week. Pastor Matt is going to be teaching a Christmas message. We even have all carols. Some of you are going to love that. Some of you are going to hate that. But we are going to get to sing Christmas carols. And so for you that don't know, maybe Jingle Bells is considered a carol. I don't know. But I know a lot of the carols you're going to be singing are rich in truth. Rich in truths about God's love for his people. So I think you'll leave it as a very worshipful time. And then the other thing we're going to do next week is we're going to commission the 61 people going to Mexico. We're just having them come up and pray for them. They'll be leaving, actually. We'll be together. And then there's Christmas, and then they're gone before we'll see them again. So we're just going to do that. So that's what we're looking for to next week. So I'm going to pray as the worship team comes up, and then we're going to get to have a time of worship together. Father, I do thank you again that you let us know about you. You let us know about your church. You let us know about our role in it. And I pray we as people in this room today would just make commitments, Father, start habits to let you have your way in our lives in regards to our attendance, in regards to our coming together to look for someone to bless and encourage. Father, may our church really, truly be reaching people from all ages and stages, knowing that you so love the world. And Father, help us as well to love the world, and that's people from all ages and stages. Thank you again for the time. I pray now as we worship that our minds would be fixed on you. The words of the songs would help us to realize what a great God you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.